From the beginning, studying vaccines and virology, it seemed obvious to me that it was all a scam. But I'd see these stories like the one about vaccine-derived polio paralyzing children in Sudan and other parts of the world. And I wondered, how exactly is that happening with no virus? I knew viral cultures were creating the conditions they used to prove the existence of a virus, basically killing cells with toxic antibiotics and calling the effect a virus. But still, I thought, wow, they can create the same symptoms using a vaccine that they're claiming their non-existent virus causes. I shoved this in the back of my mind and figured it had to be specific toxins or metals that they knew would cause that effect. But the specificity always kind of nagged at me. A study in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine, March 2006, states, in April 1955, more than 200,000 children in five western and midwestern USA states received a polio vaccine in which the process of inactivating the live virus proved to be defective. Within days, there were reports of paralysis, and within a month, the first mass vaccination program against polio had to be abandoned. Subsequent investigations revealed that the vaccine, manufactured by the California-based family firm of Cutter Laboratories, had caused 40,000 cases of polio, leaving 200 children with varying degrees of paralysis and killing 10. Not only were they getting the specific polio symptom of paralysis to happen, but they seemed to be successfully targeting children. Hosting a podcast, researching, and talking to people all around the world for the last few years, I've heard a lot of things. One that grabbed my attention was the topic of exosomes as some kind of crystalline filtrates acting as viruses. Before that, we had heard of exosomes from popular terrain figures, but only in referencing the fact that they were indistinguishable from what they called viruses and being mistaken for them. What are exosomes? And why did everyone stop talking about them? It seemed like they were mentioned a lot at the beginning of COVID and then disappeared out of the conversation.
What exosomes are, and they were discovered by scientists about 30 years ago, is that they are small vesicles or little sacs of fluid that bud out of our own cells. So they're secreted by our own cells, every cell type in our body and every cell of every mammal. At least makes exosomes. And they're made at a baseline rate all the time. So you're making them right now, as am I. But when you have some kind of illness, and a variety of different illnesses have been shown to cause this, it causes your body to induce exosomes and produce more of them. And the reasons for that are thought to be, the main function is that it's thought that they play is in communicating between different cells that are far apart in your body. So it's not the neighbor that they can communicate with other ways, but some remote part of your body. So the structure of exosomes would be that it's very simple. They're very small, the same size as virus particles. There's a range of sizes, but there are for viruses as well. And they have a very simple structure, just a membrane and maybe one or two proteins on the membrane. Usually one of them is a receptor that is like a key mechanism that finds the right lock on the target cell so it can go into the target cell where it's supposed to communicate. And then inside the vesicle is some kind of genetic material. And it could be a variety of different materials, including various forms of DNA and RNA, just as it has been described in virus particles. So there's another role that has been demonstrated in scientific studies where sometimes these exosomes can actually take up toxic materials like bacterial endotoxins from the environment outside the cells and then prevent the cells from being exposed to those toxic materials. So that may be one role. So the reason why this is so important is, one, because the similarities have been recognized by scientists, including virologists, and many times scientists have actually said they're the same thing or they have substantial overlap, including prominent virologists. And then they've also found them to have sometimes a combination of what they call viral RNA or DNA mixed with human RNA or DNA. So remember from what I said earlier that we really don't know the true source of what they call viral genetic material, but nonetheless, whatever it is, they found it in our own body, in these exosomes.
So nature is not ridiculous. So it says, okay, I'm going to have a rapid response team. It's called exosomes. If I'm poisoned with a new toxin, I'm going to package that up into a message, which then I can send to all my friends, because we're actually living in a cooperative world, not a everybody for themselves world. No matter what we're told, that's just not the way nature works. So this is a simple example of spreading the message. It gets people to react. We've actually done experiments, not we, meaning me, but scientists, where they poison a rat with Tylenol, which is, everybody knows, a serious liver toxin. Those rats or mice, they excrete exosomes, which are essentially liver acetaminophen Tylenol packaged up gene toxins. I'm not sure if that's the correct way to say it, but I think everybody knows what I mean. And then they expose other mice or rats to that those exosomes, and they also have a reaction in their liver.
And then they expose other mice or rats to that those exosomes, and they also have a reaction in their liver.
So this is telling us that this is one way that nature has learned to spread the message, similar to how trees spread the message. We've been infested by beetles. All you friends of mine, all you other people, you make a reaction. And then unfortunately, if the other people who receive this message are also have an overactive immune response, because they too have been breathing aluminum dust, and they too have been injected with aluminum, and they too have been exposed to glyphosate, and they too have been had the oxygen in their air lowered because of electromagnetic fields, then you could have trouble, and it looks like the whole thing spreads.
Unless my ears are deceiving me, that was two prominent figures in the terrain movement early on, telling us about how exosomes are messengers and not only communicate within our body, but spread the message to others outside of our bodies. That sounds a lot like a virus. It sounds a lot like germ theory. Somehow, we all forgot about this, and the message got lost. Everyone stopped talking about exosomes. Or maybe they changed their minds, I'm not sure. It would be years later when I would hear about exosomes as viruses again.
Like, you're attributing the word virus to what is essentially a crystalline toxin, correct?
You're using the word toxin. I'm saying it's a crystalline material. This is what, when you go to read studies in virology and they talk about Ebola virus and polio virus and this virus, what they're talking about is the end result of working down, breaking down organic material that has been derived from a source, and that source has the disease called polio, they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that material, they call it virus. That's it. And they know how to work it. They know how to insert code on it, and they put it into syringes, and they put it into people, and they say, this is going to prevent the disease that we have told you everybody has right now.
So they're calling this thing virus while telling us a virus is this thing that they get from the cytopathic effect in viral cultures, like as it's known in the mainstream.
So the exosome is a nano-sized messenger that travels in the bloodstream to recipient cells. And when the exosome, which is spiked, everybody, spiked, it has a corona on it. And it matches up the pictures of what these artists have, these cartoons they have made called virus. So there are researchers in our midst who early on identified that what the virologists in virology were talking about, the pictures they showed, were really these things called exosomes in the bloodstream. And the spikes on the exosome, they hit the membrane of the recipient cell, which is voltage gated. Remember piezoelectricity? The mechanical force opens the gate by voltage, and the exosome slips into the cell where it becomes an endosome. Endo means to go inside. Now the target cell is analyzing it, going, what is this? It came to me. Was it supposed to come to me? Is it an accident? And it has various, let's just say, soldiers that analyze, and they'll eat the foreign particles. I don't know if I'm saying this word correctly, but phagocyte is one, lymphocyte is another. So the cells contain their own army of troops to look at invaders and either accept them or reject them. So if they accept them, in the case of SynBio, they have managed to fool our cells. They have managed to give our cells an introduction of new material that slips inside and that basically takes over and issues a rewrite of DNA. And that's virus for you. That's what's coming in and has been for a long time in these syringes.
And that's sort of like a program to create whatever disease they want to manifest, what you're saying.
Whatever condition they want to manifest. We're talking about crystals. That's called poliovirus. They were sending them over to England for Rosalind. But anyway, they were sending this to Britain, and they were... when she got them, she couldn't see the polio crystals. I'm Googling it. It was like they were gone. And they found out later that they were only visible if they were sent in fused quartz vials. What okay. is the exosome? What is the nucleic acid collection that it's carrying? What are the instructions in it? And what biotech has developed is a way to create exosomes that contain genetic cargo that can do a rewrite once it gets into a cell. Now, how do they do that? I don't know. They right, have figured out how to make synthetic viruses. All the viruses that are being injected into you are lab-made and synthetic, and they have genetic cargo on them.
What I found is that there's a parallel description of the same structure being called exosome when it comes to molecular biology. You look into the cell, you've got like hundreds, thousands of different organellas inside the cell, and one is a shell containing RNA. The shell is built of proteins that look very spiky under the microscope. And the description there is if the tissue around, the liquids around the cell are poisoned, the cell gets the command to let that exosome out. Then it goes into another cell, multiplicates there, and eats up all the dirt that is poisoning the body. This is kind of the function of an exosome in microbiology, and it looks like a virus, or like viruses are described. It's going out of the cell, and this is not described because it's not the field of research. If they're around in the liquids and you sneeze or cough, of course, you can put the same mechanism of replication into your neighbor, which I would call an infection. Now, when we research how does it really function, you know, with using the ability of clairvoyant people who perceive also the bioenergetics, the thing is we self-organize, which means the body has always resources available to cleanse things. If you want to clean out one thing, you need an agent to grab and transport it away. So we have the resources of cleaning agents, and they form a key, like the availability of the different ones. Mm-hmm. Now, if we don't like our boss and our wife is nasty and we have a lot of stress hormones that need to be removed, I'm running low on two key substances. This is something that is recognized by the immune system. Mm-hmm. Then I meet someone who has a common cold. He has the RNA cluster active in him. So every genetic cluster carries an entity. And those entities, the disease entities, they multiplicate by sprouting. So we have a complex mechanism. The spike protein of the one that is already infected, he's coughing. They're in the air. The one who might need an infection is smelling the spike protein. The immune system is making the calculations. Can I make use of this disease to get my key back to regulatory capabilities?
But why do you suppose, because there's no real like studies that show them being able to prove contagion. Why do you suppose that they can't put people in a room and get this to happen?
Because if they don't need a disease, they don't contract it. It's the decision of the immune system if you need it or not.
So you can see that the more we take out this comparison forward, we see that they're essentially the same in every important way. So I happen to be looking in the virology literature, and actually they also think exosomes and viruses are possibly the same thing. So this is Dr. James Hildreth, a very prominent researcher and academic physician in the field of virology and HIV research. He's currently the president and CEO of Mahari Medical College, but he was a full professor at Johns Hopkins, and he wrote this paper with two of his colleagues there. And what he said, and I quote, "The virus is fully an exosome in every sense of the word." Now, this was just a great confirmation for what I was already thinking, and I was kind of blown away when I read this in the paper, because this was one of the last papers I looked at. To find this after I'd already come to the same conclusion, it really helped validate my opinion.
Now you can listen to all this and hyper-focus on the microbiology and whether the mechanisms spoken about are actually what they say they are, or exist in the way they say they do. Or you can recognize that these things may be a physical representation of something causing the same effect. For example, we don't know what calories are, but we know if we burn a lot of what they call calories, we lose weight. I don't need to hyper-focus on whether a calorie exists right this second, because something they call a calorie is being expended when I exercise, and this causes me to lose weight. I'm not saying it's not important to validate things. I'm just saying that sometimes something that doesn't exist like they say it does can still exist in another form. And hyper-focusing on the thing that doesn't exist can make you miss the thing that actually exists. This is often done on purpose using the Hegelian dialectic. I'm not saying germ theory is necessarily valid, but I'm asking, what truly are the role of exosomes? Have we really examined this? Why did we stop talking about them? And are they somehow manipulating these organisms by using crystalline filtrates? And is it possible that exosomes naturally spread? Has terrain theory pushed us into a dialectic that has taken our eye off the ball and seen us descending into solipsism, where we're too busy trying to invalidate everything in science instead of truly figuring out what it is and what's going on? I hope to get some answers.
Do you have other files that you have looked through? Yes, there is the dossier that I am starting to write next week, and it is a dossier which concerns vaccine, experimental military medicine, and liquid crystal. It's because I was talking about the different development in military research produced by the CIA in the United States in terms of vaccine, and things like that. And I said, listen, it appears from the survey and result obtained to date that it is possible to administer a vaccine inside of which there does not appear to be anything apparently, and which is not offensive to health in any way. But on the other hand, the same vaccine, because of its ill-defined content, put in relation a year or 2 years later with another vaccine, which two seem harmless at first sight, but the two combined together will produce implausible problems. And I recently knew that it was possible without this being necessarily detected at the level of scientific analysis, that it was possible to cut in half a liquid crystal to put part of it in a vaccine, and a year or two later, the second part is found in another vaccine.